On this podcast, you'll find interviews with high-performing, successful individuals in life sciences. On a weekly basis, we cover their proven methods, principles, strategies, and mindsets to implement new technologies that scale to meet the needs of people in our world.
Welcome to this episode of Life Science Success. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Don and I'm a consultant in life sciences. I help companies across pharmaceuticals, medical device, and biotech map their inefficiencies, take a look at and facilitate improvement events, and then also help them with implementing technology. So with that, let me welcome our guest for today. In this episode of Life Science Success, we're thrilled to welcome Brittany Winterberger. She's the Senior Director of North America Project Management and Clinical Operations at TigerMed. So welcome, Brittany.
Yeah, thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be here. An incredible opportunity, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being here. Would you mind just taking a little bit of time and telling everybody a little bit about yourself? I mean, obviously, I ran quickly through your current job title, but as I look through your career history, you know, you've had a great career, you know, in doing a lot of the things that you're doing today. And so I think it would help, you know, people to understand one, sort of what led you to the point where you're at right now with TigerMed. But secondly, what led you to want to be in life sciences in the first place?
Yeah, you know, just a quick little bio about me personally. You know, I'm born and raised here in Cincinnati, Ohio, still here. Did my undergraduate degree in biological sciences and studied at Marquette University, and, you know, also was able to kind of study abroad when I was there, which was a really cool experience. And, you know, I came back here to Cincinnati after that and met my husband. We have two wonderful kids, a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And, you know, we enjoy life together, traveling, being outdoors. And, you know, we're a big sports fan family. So it's March Madness season right now. And, you know, go Marquette. They play Friday against Western Kentucky. So, you know, I'm getting the whole household pumped up for that. But in terms of my professional career, you know, I kind of stumbled into the field really quite unintentionally. You know, initially it was my aspiration to be a pediatric oncologist, which, you know, was kind of fueled by the unfortunate and just really devastating loss of a close cousin of mine to leukemia when we were just 15. So, you know, witnessing the impact, you know, of cancer on a loved one so, you know, so closely, you know, it's just really left a mark on me, and it kind of instilled a desire in me to really help others suffering from cancer. But, you know, as I embarked on that path towards med school, you know, I soon realized that I don't think I possess the emotional fortitude, you know, required to become a pediatric oncologist, you know, facing such immense, you know, suffering, you know, really on a daily basis. It was so daunting, and I kind of questioned whether I could even handle it effectively. But, you know, I was still determined, you know, to make a difference. I still wanted to contribute, you know, to the fight against cancer. And it was, you know, really during this period, I guess you would call soul searching, that an opportunity presented itself. And, you know, it's actually kind of a funny story. My aunt, she happened to be in contact with the HR team at a local CRO here in Cincinnati. And she was selling them office furniture, actually. And she said, hey, why don't you explore, you know, the CRO, and, you know, I'll give them your resume. And to my surprise and really delight, you know, they brought me on board. And that was my first job. And that's where my journey really began. And I know it's not really the front lines of, you know, patient care, but, you know, I still believe that our, you know, our work here in clinical research still contributes to the advancement of treatments and therapies to really help those patient outcomes and worldwide. And I feel like I can still, you know, honor the memory of my cousin while actively working, you know, towards a future where I hope that, you know, cancer becomes, you know, a manageable condition instead of a devastating diagnosis.
Yeah, it is. An interesting thing, because I feel like a lot of people that wind up in healthcare in some way have been affected on the other side in one way or another. And so they sort of, you know, say, hey, look, I would like to help have an impact there. And you know, certainly, you know, helping to develop the next generation of drugs or being a part of the clinical research that goes into that certainly can have, you know, a very sort of dramatic impact as well. As you sort of look back on your career progression from clinical trial assistant to your current role at TigerMed, what are some of the pivotal moments that you had in your career?
Yeah, you know, reflecting back on my career, I think a few points kind of come to mind. I think the first one, a lot of people can probably relate to, but it's always the decision to leave that initial company that you start with. I think you kind of feel like, oh, you know, the company invested in me, they believed in me, you know, you filled up kind of a family at your work with your coworkers, and just the thought of abandoning them and like letting people down was just really tough. But at the same time, you know, you're wondering, like, how can my career progress? Like, what am I missing out on if I don't take the opportunity? Is the grass greener on the other side? I feel like that's the unknown as well. But, you know, I ultimately kind of realized that I needed to grow and I needed to get a new opportunity and take a leap there. So I think that was a real pivotal moment, you know, to show that there are other opportunities in the field at other companies that, you know, are just as great as, you know, the company that you were at. And, you know, I think the other moment that kind of coming to mind, it's, you know, kind of humorous too, but, you know, it's the first time I ever got a B on my performance review. And like, you know, I'm kind of a nerd. I was always a straight A student in school, like super dedicated, high marks in my previous roles, and kind of a perfectionist. And so I was like shocked and like extremely disappointed. And I mean, the circumstances surrounding the particular review were, I mean, I understand they were challenging. I was under a new line manager who was unfamiliar with, you know, my contributions, and she already had a very, you know, tight-knit established team of her own. And so, you know, while I understood, you know, the constraints that she was under, and, you know, it was really kind of the first time I felt undervalued in my career, you know, it really prompted me to just kind of reflect on the importance of feeling valued and recognized for your efforts. And, you know, I decided at that point to pursue opportunities elsewhere. And I think that transition really made a turning point in my career, and kind of like the final catalyst that propelled me towards where I am today was just realizing that sometimes at the larger companies, it's really difficult to, you know, have the impact that you'd like to have and the visibility to leadership. And, you know, despite my dedication and ambition, you know, I found it challenging to make a significant difference or at least have my contributions acknowledged. And when you have a vast, you know, organizational structure, and, you know, I kind of recognized the need to go to somewhere that was more agile, smaller, had an innovative environment, and where I could implement my ideas, make a tangible impact. And, you know, I'd have to say that joining TigerMed has kind of been the culmination of these pivotal moments and challenges where I've kind of found a home, I'd say, and have the freedom to innovate and drive change and really make a meaningful difference in the clinical research landscape. And, you know, I think we have a comprehensive, you know, clinical trial services across, you know, vast therapeutic areas. And I think that's also provided me invaluable opportunities for professional development. And I think taking this podcast as an example, like I probably never would have had this opportunity at previous companies. And, you know, TigerMed just really values my leadership and contributions. And, you know, this year they awarded me with a prestigious President's Award as well. So I'm just happy to be here in a place where I feel like I can make a difference and, you know, a place that values me as well.
Yeah, and I feel like you hit a couple of key points there. So let me kind of rewind the clock just a little bit. So in terms of the impact that this has had on you, when you think about, you know, sort of leading teams in the future and, you know, the impact that you're having, you know, as you're having these discussions, it seems to me like this is something that might replay for you as well, that, you know, hey, look, we have to show people that we really do value them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a key, really key. And having a successful team is a team development. You know, empowering your employees to feel like they can drive change, that their vision matters, that some of, you know, their ideas, I like to have them own it. So when one of, you know, employee comes to me and says, hey, I don't think this is working out so well, you know, I said, great. Well, let me know how you think it could be better. I'll set you up with the SME, you know, the subject matter expert there. You can work with them. And, you know, I kind of take, like you mentioned, those challenges or obstacles that I faced, and I try to make it better for our team and, you know, set them up for, you know, the success and the professional development so that they stay and we can retain, you know, a very high skilled and experienced quality team here.
Good. And for anybody that doesn't know Tiger Med, can you talk a little bit about who is Tiger Med? What is it that they do? What is some of the scope of the things that they do for companies in life sciences?
Yeah, absolutely. So Tiger Med is a contract research organization. So we provide services to biotech companies and to medical device. In fact, we have over 1,700 partnerships there that we've connected with over the last 20 years. And this is our 20th anniversary this year. So we're celebrating that moment. But we offer services, comprehensive set of services, phase 1 to phase 4 clinical trials. So we can do the gamut, you know, the clinical operations, medical monitoring, medical writing, device trials, safety, pharmacovigilance, data management, pretty much everything involved. We have our own depot here, which I think is kind of unique, our own central lab. So it's really a place where we can run a full service clinical trial and provide that expertise that whether you're a large pharma or a small biotech, you know, there's a strategy here for you that we can tailor and adopt to your unique needs.
Perfect. And how do you ensure the success of your team in terms of delivering projects on time while trying to maintain quality?
Yeah, I think there are really 5 kind of key elements to success. And one of them we kind of touched on. So maybe I'll go to that one and talk about that one first here. And, you know, the team development. So I think that's a big one. And it starts with hiring the right people. So I like to personally try and sit on as many interviews as possible to make sure we're hiring quality individuals who share our dedication and vision, and just make sure that we, you know, from the outset have right-minded and skilled people, and then equipping those people with, you know, the tools that they need and the training to be successful. And, you know, I think that's an evolving process as we, you know, continue to seek to kind of improve and adapt to new methods and new technologies and make sure they have adequate support, a mentor and a manager who can be with them regularly and make sure they feel supported and have the guidance they need to excel in their roles. And I think we touched on this a little bit, but the professional development, you know, giving them the right opportunities to develop their skills and knowledge and enhance their individual performance, which also just strengthens the overall capabilities of the team. So I think that's huge. I think, you know, strategic planning, developing comprehensive plans, bringing in quality assurance into the entire project life cycle, you know, I think everyone's favorite word, like KPIs, your key performance indicators, it's, you know, important to review those and make sure you're identifying any areas of risk or concern early on, taking kind of proactive measures to mitigate them, and you're on track with your deliverables and your quality and managing your risks, and kind of a live and learn approach. We hold monthly team calls where we actually discuss best practices together, tips and tricks, you know, lessons learned, what's new in the regulations, highlight success stories, and kind of create that, you know, more collaborative environment where team members can learn from each other and stay up to date on industry trends and developments. And I think, you know, kind of last but not least, you don't have a trial if you don't have sites and investigators. So, you know, making sure we have a great network and, you know, established relationships with our investigators, a good collaboration with them is huge to the success of our team. And, you know, we've been able to develop those relationships throughout the world to really help us deliver our trials on time and with good quality.
Yeah, and as I think about a lot of the things that come together in a clinical trial, right? I mean, I have to envision that it's always a challenge managing these moving parts, but also having the sort of knowledge and the history in terms of being able to, you know, manage these sort of things as well has to also help you, you know, longer term, and being able to leverage that greater collective in terms of, you know, that whether it's partners that you have or internal resources that you have, and leveraging that greater collective has to also, you know, benefit the trials at the end as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting all your stakeholders and having those collaborative partnerships is key. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about leveraging our think globally, act locally approach, you know, where we bring our two decades of insight across borders that's, you know, really also led us to be so successful. Mm.
So I was educated a little bit last week at the end of the week. I was on a call and somebody happened to mention the fact that they feel like, that inside of clinical trials, that there's been an evolution, you know, as well, that they feel really benefits at the end of the day in terms of delivering, you know, drugs and, you know, to patients faster. And in that conversation, I thought about our interview that was coming today. And so I just thought I would sort of ask you to reflect a little bit. You've had a lot of experience before, both in cardiology and oncology. How have clinical trials evolved in your career, and what benefits are you seeing happen?
Oh, yeah. I think it's been incredible witnessing, you know, firsthand the evolution of clinical trials, especially in, you know, cardiology and oncology. And oncology, I think, you know, one of the most notable advancements has been the shift towards this precision medicine and targeted therapies, you know, with advancements in genomic sequencing and identifying biomarkers, we now have really a better understanding of the molecular drivers of cancer, which allow us to develop more tailored treatments or personalized treatments for each patient. And I think this has really led to like a paradigm shift in oncology trials with more of an increased focus on biomarker-driven trials and the development really of, you know, novel targeted therapies. And, you know, in addition to that, you know, the adoption of innovative trial designs such as, you know, basket and umbrella trials, which really allows for more efficient testing of multiple therapies in parallel. So essentially you're running, you know, a few studies within one, accelerating the pace of the drug development in oncology. I think, you know, similarly in cardiology, you know, there is also a trend towards personalized medicine. I think, you know, especially with the advances in imaging technologies and diagnostic tools, it's allowed us to detect and, you know, more precisely characterize cardiovascular conditions, which has led us to be able to create, you know, more targeted and individualized treatment approaches and, you know, kind of a growing emphasis on that integration of the digital health technologies where you have wearables and remote monitoring devices and you're bringing that into clinical trials, kind of, you know, offering those kind of new opportunities for your real-time data collection, patient engagement, and, you know, ultimately, I think, enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of cardiovascular clinical trials.
Yeah, I think back to, I mean, obviously, you know, wearables have evolved with the time that I've had technology on my wrist. I know that. And, but yeah, I mean, I have to envision that, you know, the ability to sense things and the ability to sort of contribute data along the way, you know, would be a greater benefit. Do you feel like there's any level of greater impact either on the patient or on the timeline to deliver a drug because of either of those?
Yeah, I mean, I think both. You know, it certainly gets us the data faster. Instead of, you know, a site typically traditionally would have to collect the data physically, input the data into a system. And here, like I mentioned, it's kind of real-time data collection. So you're getting that data quicker. And then the patient, they don't have to actually go to the site to get the data collected from them. You know, they can just be at home wearing this, you know, wearable. And essentially, we're getting the information they need with decreasing the burden to the patient. So I absolutely think that this patient-centric approach is the future for clinical trials and really can help us, you know, have more patient accessibility to clinical trials.
Yeah, so important. Well, and I just envision, you know, being told, you know, hey, look, you're maybe hours away from the hospital that you need to go to have certain things done and then having to go there to have only data collected, right? So it probably wouldn't be all that convenient at times. So in terms of your personal commitment, in terms of combating cancer and the experience that you said that your cousin had had with leukemia, how does that motivation now shape your approach to your work and the projects that you choose to take on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge impact. I think losing a loved one to cancer at a young age just deeply impacted me. And, you know, I think it really shapes my approach in several ways. I think kind of gives me a sense of purpose and urgency in everything that I do. You know, every project that we take on, every decision is really driven by a desire to make a meaningful impact and difference in the lives of these patients that are battling this awful disease and kind of go above and beyond, you know, your daily, you know, responsibilities to make sure that, you know, there's success in everything that we're taking on. And, you know, I think it certainly kind of prioritizes also the projects that we're naturally gravitated towards, you know, wanting to have an impact on the cancer, the treatment, the patient care, and, you know, whether that's through development of new therapies, implementing innovative trial designs, or really advocating for that patient-centric approach I mentioned, you know, it's really just seeking these opportunities to advance the cancer and the science and heightening your empathy. Because at the end of the day, there's a human aspect to all this. You know, sometimes we think of it, oh, clinical trials, clinical subjects, but these are real people, real humans. And, you know, our work really reinforces the importance of this patient-centered care. And, you know, I really strive in every project to approach it with empathy and understanding and a genuine kind of commitment to improving outcomes of these poor individuals that are impacted by cancer.
Thank you for that. So in terms of TigerMed, they've been recognized in terms of their innovative approach regarding clinical research. Could you talk about any of the current projects or initiatives that you have that really focus in on the innovation that they bring to clinical trial research?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, at TigerMed, we pride ourselves on innovative approaches to clinical research. And I think, you know, really two initiatives are coming to mind. And the first one being that, you know, driving patient recruitment through trial design. And then the second being the decentralized clinical trials, which kind of, you know, goes into what we were talking about with the wearables and things. But I think one of the key areas where we've demonstrated our innovation is really in our approach to how we recruit our patients and how we design our trials. And, you know, TigerMed was established and founded in China. We have a huge presence there as well. With China, you know, being home to the world's largest population, they recruit patients much faster than we do here in the US. And we've really capitalized on the advantage to accelerate recruitment and streamline trial processes. And, you know, our team has become experts in communicating with the China CDE, which is the equivalent of our FDA. And, you know, we've been able to design trials that meet the requirements of both the CDE and FDA. And, you know, allow us to comply with the regulatory standards and expectations in both regions while having this efficiency. So I think, you know, if we look at our phase one trials where, you know, we initiate trials simultaneously in China and the US within a single protocol, this approach enables us to really achieve aggressive timelines and goals and accelerate the pace of the drug development, but at the same time, lowering the cost of our, you know, for our clients. And, you know, we're doing a trial right now, and I think it's a HER2 ADC, which is, you know, just a super highly competitive space. A lot of innovation going in there right now. And we were able to enroll 6 cohorts with more than 60 patients in just a year using this China-US model and progress this trial from a phase one to a pivotal trial in just 2 years, which is just incredible speed. You know, if you know this industry, and, you know, ultimately the company, you know, got a $1 billion licensing agreement and received accelerated approval status from the FDA. So that, I think, you know, that kind of innovation is really, you know, helping out our customers as well as our patients, because we're lowering, you know, we're lowering our drug costs, we're getting drugs to market faster. And, yeah, so I think that's one area that, you know, we've been really successful in innovating. And I think the second one, as I mentioned, is our decentralized trials task force. You know, this initiative really, as I mentioned, kind of aims to that patient, you know, centric approach, you know, having patients engaged and participating by leveraging these digital health technologies and implementing decentralized trial approaches. So, you know, we talked about wearable devices being an example. There's clinical trial monitoring software out there. And so it kind of reduces the patient burden, makes it easier to implement for us, and increases really kind of the compliance aspect on all ends. And, you know, I think now almost more than 30% of our ongoing trials have some sort of DCT or decentralized element, kind of putting us at the forefront of this kind of approach. And, I think we have almost 200 hybrid trials ongoing right now across disease areas, you know, one of them being a big phase 3 breast cancer trial that has more than 700 patients spanning across 11 regions. And, you know, we've been able to employ, you know, an online questionnaire, an electronic diary. We mail the, you know, we mail the drug to the patients so they don't have to come in to get that. And for sample collection, they don't have to come in to the site to get their draws. They just go to their local, you know, closest lab. And yeah, so we've been able to design that to, you know, protect the integrity and data quality, but at the same time, minimize the cost and the burden to the patient and increase our efficiency.
Also important. So the next few questions, I want to focus in on you. What's the greatest leadership advice that you've ever received?
Oh, no, I think this is a hard one. I've had some great mentors over the years. You know, let me start with something that didn't come from a professional mentor, but it's been a slogan I've kind of come back to at so many points in my career. And don't judge me. I'm pretty sure this quote came from like a rom-com back when I was like a teenager or something. And I won't even name the movie because I don't want to age myself. But the quote is, "Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game." And I think this quote has really resonated with me like during my entire career progression and, you know, really kind of encouraged me to take chances and opportunities and, you know, that really have shaped my career today where, you know, I might have had some hesitations. Is this the right thing to do? And yeah, so I think that is a slogan I kind of live by, but I have received a lot of good advice. And, you know, I think the best advice I've received probably from a professional, more mentor at Tiger Med actually was around the importance of emotional intelligence and effective leadership. And, you know, recognizing and understanding emotions both in yourself and in others is really key for building strong relationships and fostering collaboration, really driving positive, you know, interchanges, exchanges, and outcomes. And, you know, I think part of that is understanding empathy and being able to empathize with others, understand their perspectives and feelings and their experiences to be able to connect with people on a deeper level, build that trust and inspire loyalty. And, you know, having some self-awareness, being aware of your own emotions, strengths, weaknesses, you know, your impact on others is just as crucial for your personal growth as well as effective leadership. And, you know, being able to kind of remain calm and composed in challenging situations is critical and maintain kind of that emotional stability, resilience, and make sure that you kind of instill a sense of calm in your team and in navigating those complex or high pressure situations.
Also true. I mean, it's it is interesting though to me always that whenever I think about emotional intelligence and the fact that you work in a space that should have the most emotional intelligence because you're oftentimes dealing with some level of sick people. And yet I feel like at times this environment doesn't always lend itself, you know, to that. Right. And you're saying that, you know, on the other side that, you know, hey, look, it is absolutely critical that we consider, you know, the empathy that we have for others and sort of broaden that perspective in terms of, you know, our approach to both how we lead people, but also how we build the environment that the products that we're creating in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So what, Brittany, my next question is, what inspires you?
Yeah, I think for me, this is pretty easy. I think it's, you know, the doctors really and the staff that are caring for these patients. And, you know, think about it, they're in clinic all day taking care of patients that are suffering and saving lives. At the same time, they're contributing to our clinical trials, which let me tell you, takes up a lot of time for them, you know, dealing with all of our email communications and calls and paperwork and data entry. And, you know, that leads to just really long days for them. But they keep waking up and doing it day after day. And, you know, that just inspires me to also, you know, work hard and give my best, be dedicated and, you know, just work as hard as they do. And, you know, I'm also inspired by the opportunity to make a positive impact like they do and drive that meaningful change in the lives of others. And, you know, whether that's through my work in clinical research, where I fortunately have the privilege of contributing to the development of life-saving therapies, or, you know, just in my interactions with my colleagues, where I we mentioned, I try to empower them, support them, and drive a sense of purpose and them to kind of leave like a lasting legacy, I guess I'd call it, of positive influence.
Yeah, so important. What concerns you?
I think my biggest concern for this industry is probably patient accessibility still. I mean, while we have decentralized clinical trials and we've made great strides in addressing these problems with the cost of drugs and the access of patients to clinical trials, I still think there's a lot of work to do. You know, there's not 100% implementation of DCT at this point, you know, so we're still not reaching everyone. There's still people in remote areas, rural areas, you know, that have limited transportation, can't get to a clinical trial, access the treatments. There's financial barriers, you know, there's still some costs associated with being in a clinical trial and, you know, even drugs, I think we all know that, you know, some of them are so expensive, especially if you're uninsured and, you know, some drugs aren't even covered by insurance. So I think there's still kind of even an overall lack of awareness of clinical trials for patients, and they don't even know what's out there to help them with their disease. And, you know, kind of the inclusion exclusion too is still kind of restricted for clinical trials and, you know, kind of excludes, you know, elderly patients, people with comorbidities and minority groups. And, you know, I think that's certainly, you know, a concern that still needs to be addressed. And I mean, certainly we're aware of the complexity of the regulatory environment all around the world. And, you know, sometimes there's bureaucratic hurdles, I should say, and barriers that kind of impede us from getting these drugs out to patients timely. So I still think that these are all concerns that we kind of need to come together and address from all points of view, from policymakers to the pharma companies, healthcare providers, and even like patient advocacy groups, you know, to continue to push forward and figure out ways that we can make, you know, clinical trials and drugs more accessible to everyone.
Absolutely. What excites you?
What would be the most exciting for me is if Marquette would win the national championship this year. But professionally, what excites me?
Geographically, you are much closer to Western Kentucky, so.
That's true. But my loyalty is always with Marquette. But what excites me, I think, professionally is the opportunity to contribute to the development of these groundbreaking therapies at Tiger Med. You know, I think, you know, being at Tiger Med has been great for me, and the remarkable track record speaks volumes. You know, we have over 2,400 drug registration projects already and conducted more than 560 oncology clinical trials and more than 70, you know, approved vaccines from our clinical trials. And, you know, we have a vast network of partnerships and collaborations, and we're operating in more than 180 locations. So we have more than 10,000 employees, and we continue to grow year after year. So I think that growth and success is just tremendous. And it excites me as a woman, because 81% of our workforce is actually comprised of females. And of that, 63% are in senior management positions. So, you know, that's really exciting and shows me that Tiger Med is a company for everyone. And, you know, we have so much more growth potential as well. And, you know, kind of being a leader in the company has really helped, you know, me feel valued and excited about planning the strategy and the path and the future, you know, the path forward. So I think that really energizes me.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's wonderful. Well, Brittany, I want to just thank you for being on the Life Science Success podcast and for telling us all about Tiger Med. I honestly, just to be completely transparent, I didn't know a lot about Tiger Med until this episode, and I greatly appreciate, you know, you're going really in depth in terms of not just the sort of the foundational things of what you're working on as a clinical research organization, but also, you know, even more in depth what you're doing as an overall organization and the impact that you're having. So thanks a lot for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was my honor, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Thank you for listening to Life Science Success. For complete details about this podcast, including show notes, how to get in touch with guests, and more episodes, please visit www.lifesciencesuccess.com. If there's someone you'd like for us to invite to the show as a guest, please let me know by sending me a message at the podcast website. Please click subscribe on your favorite podcast app. share the podcast or tell a friend about it. And last but not least, rate the podcast. Thank you again.